Thanks for listening to the best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to the best of the Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
There was a story that our friend Brad Turner, friend of the show,
frequent guest. We've known Brad for 100 years.
Yep. Covers the Lakers for the LA Times. He wrote a story about how Westbrook, LeBron, and Anthony Davis met at LeBron's home in Los Angeles 2 weeks ago and talked about teaming up. And it was just a kumbaya moment. I pictured them by the fire, some marshmallows and hot cocoa.
There was only one problem with the meeting, Chris. Did you know that? Did you hear about it?
No.
LeBron ordered Blaze pizza, and there wasn't enough cheese on it, so this thing almost didn't happen. No, Don, nothing? Nothing. Don, wow. Okay, go ahead, Chris.
Oh, I'm laughing. You hear me? I'm cracking up. I know you're used to Jonas Knox, you know, just, Rob. No, but
Don,
but,
can
but
you pay attention? What show are you listening to in your headphones? Okay.
That was funny, Rob. That was funny. Good job. Good one. All right. There we go. But anyway, they met and everybody was talking about, hey, it's all about a ring, baby. It's all about a ring. Westbrook said all the right things. Hey, all I care about, guys, is getting home and delivering a championship, winning a championship. That's all I want. I will even play off the ball. LeBron, if you have the ball, I'll play off the ball. LeBron said, but hold up, bro. I'm willing to get off the ball. I'm willing to move positions. You've been having the ball in your hands your whole career. I'll go to power forward for you. And AD was like, but hold up. I'm willing to go to center, guys. That's how much I want this ring. That's how much I want another ring. So AD's willing to go to center. LeBron's willing to go to power forward. Westbrook is willing to play off the ball. Kumbaya, I tell ya. Rob, you and I both are skeptical about this move. Does this revelation that they came together weeks ago, bore their souls, and said, let's just get it done? Does this make you feel better? Does this make you think, you know what? Uh-oh, this might work. This big three could work. What are your thoughts?
Not one iota. Not one scintilla.
Doesn't change anything?
No, it doesn't. Because, of course, going in, Chris, you always come up with a plan and everybody says, yeah, I'm going to do this and I'll stop doing that and I'll let you do this. And that sounds good going in. But now you're asking Westbrook to be different from what he was. You're asking LeBron James to be different. Anthony Davis has not played center for a reason, Chris. And now all of a sudden, it's okay. If that was the case, he could have done that before, right?
Especially in this soft league.
Yes, he could have been dominating, nobody to guard him, and just pounded at the center position. He refused to do that. So it sounds good in principle and on paper, and it sounds great. They had a great powwow, and they, like you said, held hands and sang Kumbaya and all that. But it still doesn't change the fact that I don't think this is a good fit ultimately. Just the same reason they thought it was going to work in Houston, Chris, didn't they?
Well, Harden and Westbrook grew up together.
Right, no problem.
So you know they were, yeah.
We're cool.
Chris Paul and Harden.
Thank you.
They talked about getting Chris to Houston. Remember, he was a Clipper.
Right. This is what I'm trying to say is like, right. It happens all the time. It doesn't mean anything. Yeah, the intentions could be right and good, and they could be trying to do the right thing and think, you know, we got to try to win another one. But I just don't. And you know, you talk to people, and of course, this morning my phone is blowing up all the Laker fans. My man Obi and all these people like hitting me up saying, "Oh, championship, can't wait." You know, I was like, "Really? Like that was a championship move? You don't even know who else is on the team yet." Like, so I get Russell Westbrook, Chris. I get Anthony Davis and LeBron James, but I'm sorry, it doesn't feel good to me.
First, let me say this: I do think the intentions are good, and I think you agree. I have no doubt. Like, my question's about Westbrook. It's not about intention. He deferred for James Harden. He did. You know, I mean, he was willing to play off the ball, and it's your team, James, and I'm good with that. So I'm sure he means what he says. I'm sure LeBron means what he says. The one that makes the most sense of AD can play center. Okay, about time you recognize that. So, yeah, that's fine. That can happen. But your game often is your game, especially when you've been in the league for 19 years like LeBron has. Or 18 years. And Westbrook, what is this? His 13th, 14th year it'll be. Something like that. 13 years, 12 years. I mean, your game is your game to the point where you're not as comfortable playing another way. You can try. You can want to. But you're not as comfortable. And therefore, you're not as effective. And when push comes to shove and times get tough, you're going to default to what you instinctively are best at. And for LeBron, that's running the show.
And you know what?
And for Westbrook, that's, you know, being aggressive and doing what he does.
Think about LeBron from 2 years ago when last year when he ran the point and led the league in assists, right?
And they won the championship.
And they won it, but then all of a sudden, now why would he stop that at that point, right? Like, what sense did that make? He went right back to being the other player. You know what I mean?
I think he tried to make room for Schroeder. Because, yeah, look, him being the point guard was like, that's, he'd been the point guard his whole career.
It's right, point forward, basically.
Yeah, I mean, wasn't playing that much differently. But I think he tried to make room for Schroeder. And I do think at this stage in his career, in this age, it's probably easier for him to be off the ball, right? And it saves him some toll physically. But I just think, and I do think that's the one thing or one of the things Westbrook brings is that he will take some of the physical toll off LeBron and AD. But there's no way I see Westbrook being the primary decision maker and LeBron just being more of a full-time power forward. You know, they're number one in this league of pace and space. And we had Antonio Daniels say it yesterday. It's about pace and space. You know, they're not going to have space. Are they going to try to play old school basketball? I would be down with that. But they won't. They won't. They won't just go, look, we're bigger than everybody. We're stronger than everybody. LeBron's going to be dominating the post. And when he's not doing it, AD will be doing it. No, it's not going to be like that. And so, like I said, Rob, it's just the fit is tough. And some people might say the Lakers fans, well, hold up. Look at James Harden. He switched his game. James Harden, if you watch him, even through high school, he's always been a playmaker. Even in Houston, he made plays for other guys. Now, he shot a ton because that's what Mike D'Antoni wanted. But I don't think it was that. All Harden had to do was say, I'm not going to shoot as much. And I'm going to be more of this high pick and roll. I'm going to set these other guys up. That's not, to me, that wasn't that huge of a physical adjustment for Harden. It was more of a mental adjustment. And he was able to do it. But the other thing, Robin, you notice the three dudes in Brooklyn can shoot.
Hello, is
two
this
of the
thing
Lakers
on?
Can't shoot. The Lakers that, big three. LeBron's that, that's a good the shooter. Problem. He's not a great shooter. The other two aren't really even good shooters.
And that's the problem in this league. You got to have some shooters, Chris.
Yep.
And don't tell me about they're going to just surround them with three-point shooters. Where? From who? What guys? Right. You mean quality three-point shooters, Chris, are sitting on the sidelines? They're not attached to any team? Come on.
They tried that. Ben McLemore, Wesley Matthews.
Right.
How's that worked out? I mean, look, you got a ring last year. You got a ring 2 years ago, and that was good. You didn't have the greatest shooting in, but you were big. You played big.
But you remember, and they also shot way better, Chris, in that bubble.
In the bubble, they did.
Right. You remember, they were not a good shooting team going in, and they made shots. They made shots.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, it's me, Rob Parker. Check out my weekly MLB podcast, Inside the Parker, for 22 minutes of piping hot baseball talk featuring the biggest names and newsmakers in the sport. Whether you believe in analytics or the eye test, we've got all the bases covered. New episodes drop every Thursday, so do yourself a favor and listen to Inside the Parker with Rob Parker on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Dodgers, Max Scherzer, and they're making a run, baby. They are going for the gusto. And you remember a few years ago, Rob, was it Bryce Harper? Where they didn't want to pay him what he wanted.
Or they didn't want to pay Machado. Well, remember, the Dodgers were, a couple years ago, people were saying that they were cheap. They wouldn't pay for players. You remember that. They were about developing their own players. And then last year, all of a sudden, they signed Mookie to that, what, $348 million or whatever, $368?
Yep, three-something.
Yeah, $342, I think it was, Chris. During the pandemic, you remember that?
Right.
I mean, they
right.
signed him to some crazy, right. like, big-time money deal. And then the Padres made trades in the offseason, and what'd they do? They ran out and got Trevor Bauer, who was the National League MVP, and made him the richest player, the highest-paid player in the league. The Dodgers, all of a sudden, and now here we go. They're behind the Giants, three games out. The Padres are 2.5 behind them, Chris. And the word came out that the Padres were going to get Max Scherzer. And what did the Dodgers do?
They went out and got Max Scherzer.
Big time.
They said, not only will you not get him,
right,
but we're going to get him. So what's your take on this? You got an interesting take.
So I think the Dodgers have turned into the evil empire, which is what people used to always call the Yankees. They're the evil empire. They have a lot of money, Chris. If they make a mistake, they can throw bad money, good money on top of bad money. You know what I mean? Because it didn't matter.
Right.
If a smaller organization makes a mistake, they got to pay for it, right? They don't have that money to be able to cover up a mistake like the Yankees used to do. And now, I think the Dodgers have supplanted the Yankees and are now the evil empire. And Chris, I brought up a number to you, and you were a little surprised by it, that the Dodgers' payroll is almost $100 million more than the Yankees. Is that not surprising?
It's very surprising. I mean, how can it not be? You know what I'm saying? And it's not like the Yankees don't have name players.
Right.
Now, granted, Judge is still, you know, not making his money.
He hadn't been paid yet. Right. But the point is, the Yankees have been diligent about staying under that luxury tax, Chris. They don't care. They don't want to pay a luxury tax. And the Dodgers don't seem to care or even, you know, that it doesn't matter. After going 31 years without winning, they won last year in the COVID-shortened season, but they won a championship. They beat the Rays, and now they want another one. And they went out, and they made a huge splash. And I think fans around baseball can start looking and say, the rich keep getting richer. The Dodgers already, Chris, on paper, they were already favorite. They were favorite already. I get it. They've had a number of injuries. I get it. Trevor Bauer will probably never wear a Dodger uniform again. But the Dodgers are the bullies now in Major League Baseball. It ain't the Yankees. It's not. I know they made a couple of moves.
All right, go ahead.
I see you scrunching up your face.
Here's my problem with your thesis, Rob.
Yes.
The Dodgers lack one thing that all evil empires must have.
What's that?
They lack one thing that all bullies at some point in time had. Winning! Rob, how in the world can you be the evil empire when you've won one championship in the last 32 years?
No, but they won last year.
That's it. That's the one. I mean, you've been a doorman. Now, I get it. They got there a few times before they won it, and they were winning the division. I'll give you that.
Eight straight years.
There is no way. So, okay, call him the bully of the NL West. I'll give you that. But there is no way on God's green earth that you can be called the evil empire with one championship in three decades. When the Yankees were the evil empire, they were slapping folks up. Seriously. They were smacking people around. Yes, we hated them because they kept winning. I can't say that about the Dodgers. We felt sorry for the Dodgers 2 years ago. We did.
When everybody walked out the stadium, you remember that?
Yeah. We took pity on the Dodgers. Oh, the poor Dodgers. Woe is me. There is no way, Robin. You know this. And I get it. Bullies often don't win, right? They can't fight if you press
But at some point,
they could fight. They knocked somebody out to get everybody scared of them. And the Dodgers haven't done that. So there is no way, Rob. There is no way that they are the evil empire. Let them win it this year. Let them win one more in the next 2 or 3 years. And then maybe keep spending this kind of money, maybe. You said it. They don't even, I get it, it's regular season, but they're not running away with their division.
No, but they
by
were,
any
they
stretch.
Were, they've had a lot of injuries, but my point is that they can go and trump anybody now. The Padres were just an afterthought. Oh, they got a cute team.
But hold on. So you got them better? Are they better than the Padres now in your view? You picked the Padres, right?
I picked the Padres. It's a big move. They got an all-star shortstop, and they got a an ace pitcher.
Are nice.
No, I know they are.
Does this make you feel like okay, the Dodgers are going to win it? Win the NL?
They got a great shot now. I think much more so, and they've lost I think four in a row and four out of five to the Giants.
Right.
Who have a three-game
lead. The Giants
lead.
And the Padres have gotten the best of them this year.
No, they have so far. Right, this year, but still, I think when you add a guy like that to your rotation and you add a shortstop who's an all-star, not past all-star, this past year right. all-star, I think it just heightens what they're doing. And my point is that the Yankees used to be able to go get whatever, go grocery shopping, go look at the Kansas City Royals. Who do you want to pluck off their roster, Chris, right? Hey, go to the Cleveland Indians in the past. Who do you want? Take anybody you want. The Dodgers right. are now there. Like what?
Yeah.
Oh, the Padres, you think you're getting him? Oh, no. We're going to trump you, and we're going to take away that deal because they were afraid that the Padres would get Scherzer and what that would have done for their chances. All I'm saying is they have more money. That's why they're outspending $100 million more than the second payroll in baseball. Not $10 million, not $100 million more. That's how much they're flexing their muscles financially. And that's what I mean when I call them the evil empire.
But don't you throw it at the end. And yeah, and I know they got to win. But no! That's not an afterthought. It's not a last sentence at the end of the paragraph. Yeah, and of course they got to win. It is the whole point. You play to win the game. You got to give me that, Rob. You cannot qualify as the evil empire if you're not body bagging folks.
Well, but they're starting to because they won a World Series last year. And this year, I think they went in as the favorites. Would you give me that off the roster with the addition of Bauer?
Yes.
Okay.
But teams are close, obviously. But like I said, if they win it this year, stay, you know, near the top and maybe win another one in the next 2 or 3 years, then I'll give it to you. But there is no way that right now they're the evil empire. And their roster is freaking beautiful. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's just name after name after name, right? I'll give you all that, but you got to deliver. You got to win to be the evil empire because the Yankees, last I checked, they used to win.
They haven't won a World Series since 2009, Chris.
Right.
Did you even have a cell phone back then? I mean, it's been so long. The last story you wrote for the New York Times was on a typewriter. I'm just trying to tell you. It's been a while.
Hey, I'm not as old as you, man. Did you ever? You probably actually.
No,
wrote
I
a
did
few
not.
Stories.
How dare you, you even open your mouth?
Were you not close though to a typewriter?
What at the
maybe
paper?
A couple years before you?
No, no, not at the paper. Are you
so
crazy?
Was your first? Your first stories were the Radio Shack.
Yeah, the Tandy. Okay, you remember the little Tandy where you could see six lines of the
story? I know,
story,
it was crazy, man. Think about that. I don't know how in the world we did. Then you had to find the couplers and go find a payphone.
Oh, God, it was awful.
It was crazy. Fun memories, though. I got some fun memories from those days,
of
man.
Trying to be able to get your, you know, your story set. And then, like, the
it's
internet.
It's like an adrenaline rush.
Oh, God.
You know what I'm
you used to run around and you don't know
going
how many
bars and
supermarkets, Chris, and the office in a grocery store. Excuse me, can I use your phone line? I'm a reporter. And they're like, what?
Right. No, it was crazy.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
What we want to get into was Carson Wentz. And Rob, I mean, we've debated Carson Wentz.
I've liked Carson Wentz for a long time since this show has been on. Wentz in a lifetime, Wentzylvania. I like
Carson. Gonna be
Wentz.
Healthy. Whatever. You know, Wentz he gonna get his job back. No, but those are jokes we've thrown out, right? And here it is, a couple of days in the camp, and I'm not even trying to be funny or sarcastic. You know what I mean? It just is what I like him. I think he's a pretty good player. Now, obviously, he fizzled in Philadelphia, but I was, and maybe he'll play. Maybe we don't know the extent of this injury, but I was expecting a bounce back year from him in Indianapolis.
They got a good team. They run the ball. They got a good offensive line.
He's back with Frank Reich, where he had his most success in Philadelphia. Right. Under Reich, when Reich was the quarterback's coach or the OC. So I was expecting big things, but here we are a few days into camp, and Carson Wentz, who has been injury-prone to say the least, suffers a foot injury at the end of yesterday's practice. He said he felt a quote-unquote twinge in his foot, and Michael Silver, the NFL Network reporter, is saying that the foot injury involved a bone and a ligament, which that never sounds good. But he's gotten an MRI. They're waiting for the results. The feeling right now seems to be like it's not season ending.
Thank God.
But it could cost him a few of the early games of the season. Obviously, best case scenario, you know, at least probably what they're thinking now, is he's able to start the season. But, Rob, this is just, to me, because these are like, everybody can get hurt, right? You get tackled, you get hit hard, you fall the wrong way, land the wrong way. Anybody,
but there's certain guys
who
can't stop getting hurt. That's the right. part that's...
There's a big part of this, right? And this goes for any of the major sports. When you're a world-class competitor, basketball, football, it's something like most people's bodies, Rob, I don't think most people could play 82 games in the NBA. And I don't mean quality of play. I don't mean, you know, of course, most people aren't good enough to do that. But I just mean physically, the wear and tear on your body, football, to play 17 games, now 17, and you're getting smacked around every single game, you know, if you're a starter. That takes something. Like, you got to be built, and I mean physically built, a certain way to be able to do that. I remember playing high school football. I used to say it's about football, Rob. Football was my favorite sport growing up. It was my first love as far as sports.
Mm-hmm.
But every year I played, and I played through high school. I thought about playing in college. Every year it got more and more painful and less fun. I mean, I have fun in the games, but then the practices and it gets cold. And
but
it,
you
I mean,
realize you're like, man, this ain't that fun.
Yeah. I always say it because I was recruited to play where I played basketball. I was recruited. They recruited me for football, too. And I always used to say, man, if I could just play in the games, I'd have played football. I didn't want to go through the practice.
That always deterred me about playing football, Chris, was exactly that. that there's just way more practice and all that other stuff than there are games.
Right.
And baseball, you play more than you practice.
Right. Right. And then basketball, you play a lot. You still practice a lot, too. But
you play
a lot
though.
More games. Yeah, you just can't in football. You just can't. But so it takes a certain, like, genetic makeup to be able to go through these seasons that these guys do. And I don't know. I'm not saying Carson Wentz is it, but something, right, he just keeps getting hurt. And it goes back to college. He had injury problems in college, too. And so hopefully, look, he's back to start the season. Hopefully he can make it through the season. I really think the Colts could have a good team this year if he does. I mean, they were pretty good last year with the old man Rivers. You know?
Right. Do you think he's sick, though? I mean, seriously, like what is this? Like I just can't go out and just be healthy, just have a good year, play 1 year. We saw when he was healthy, Chris, early on in his career, he was having an MVP season with the Eagles, got right. hurt, and ever since then, he just doesn't seem like he can stay healthy. It's so depressing for a guy who has talent.
Right. Yeah, I don't think he's sick. I just think
not
his
sick.
Body, you know, some guys are your bones brittle. You know, even again, playing young as a younger guy, some guys got broken bones and kept getting them. You know, and their bones were brittle. Like, so, look, obviously he's gotten to the highest level, so he's got some physical strength and durability and all that. But, you know, Rob, it just – we've seen it in other sports mostly. And when I think of, you know, obviously the sport I've covered mostly is basketball.
Right.
Most of the time when guys' careers in basketball are derailed by injury – it's some big injury, you know what I mean, that they just can't come back from. That steals, robs them of some of their athletic ability or whatever it may be. But I haven't seen – I mean, you look at an Anthony Davis. Now, I don't think with him – I think it's more mental with him.
Do you?
Than physical. Yeah, I just think he doesn't, you know, push through – the aches and the pains.
Right, that everything's not the end of the world because he's always on the ground, always grabbing something.
Right,
you know, like all the time. Just get up, you know?
Right, because, I mean, it's one thing if you just got an injury, you can't play. Okay, we get that.
Right.
But
he went out and played in that game where we knew Chris, you know, we had Antonio on and said, you can't play right. on that groin. He
right.
said it. We
right.
can't play on that groin. Are you kidding? After 3 days?
Yeah, I mean, when guys, it's always a hammy, it's a back, it's a, you know, groin. I mean, all the time. I don't mean here or there. I just think some guys don't fight through the bruises and the nicks and the things like that, like other guys do. But I just think that, you know, we've seen several players, hopefully Carson Wentz doesn't fall into this boat. But we've seen players before, Rob, who could have had a great career. And who knows? I mean, obviously, I think his play, for some reason, since he got back, Rob, from that first major injury, he hasn't been the same. You know, I know he had the nice little run. They made the playoffs a couple years ago, and he played well, you know, with the backups and stuff. But he's never been what he was that year when he was on pace to win the MVP.
No.
And so, you know, he looked very – I mean, you know, everybody – most people really liked him at that point. And now it's a big question as to what he'll be. But I think about some of the guys, again, in the NBA. I think about a Grant Hill.
Grant Hill comes to mind first for me. Like
Penny
like,
Hardaway. How about Penny, though?
I don't remember Penny's injury at the end. What was
it? It was just – he had a knee injury, but he never really, you know – and I think he may have injured it again or the other knee, but the main thing was an injury that threw him off. And he never was the same. And then, of course, Derrick Rose.
Derrick Rose, that's another one.
He's another
absolutely.
One, yeah. So those are three.
I'm trying
that
to think
to
of
mind.
Football players, who else? Who, a lot of guys banged up, but let me see. I'm sure there are other people we're missing. I thought about it in baseball.
Well, Strasburg is the biggest one right now.
And that's
now.
The one that, right, the elephant in the room, Chris, because he's another one with so much talent.
I thought he could have been an all-time healthy. Great. Yeah. All-time great stuff. But he definitely, and there's a lot of.
And now they're working on his neck. He's going to have neck surgery. I mean, of all things, neck surgery for a pitcher. You know what I mean? Kerry Wood had arms issues with the Cubs. You remember him?
Right. So, I think within baseball, it's probably a lot of pitchers.
Yeah.
Don't you think more than anything?
More so than anything, yeah. I'm trying to
Terrell
think.
Terrell Davis in football, great running back who.
What do you play?
He made the most out of his 6 years or whatever.
Is it just
I think
six?
It was like 6 years. At Gale Sayers is another one in football.
Who, yeah, those guys would get beat up back then. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.